Thank God for that.
Salvation has been brought down. It has been a glorious day, and we thank God for every minute of it. We've worshiped Him earlier this morning, and now we have fellowship one with another, and we had a recess where we went out here, there, and yon, and dined sumptuously. And when you eat sumptuously, the next thing that comes upon you is some shut-eye. So prayerfully you got your shut-eye. And for those of you who did not get your shut-eye, I promise you by the grace of God that I won't keep you long. In the book of Job, Father's Day. In the book of Job, particularly chapter 1, in chapter 2. But it has been a glorious day, and we thank God for it. Worshiping Him, fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then going here, there, and yon with having table fellowship. Job, chapter 1. Familiar text. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, that is, complete and upright, and one that feared or reverenced God and turned away from evil. Your Bible says eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, lots of servants. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and fasted in their houses, everyone on his birthday or his day, and sent and called for his 3 sisters to come and eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of children, them all. But Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Did you get that? There were days when the sons of God came to present themselves. Then they had a guest. Satan came also among them. And the Lord didn't put him out. He said unto Satan, "Where or whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" You following that, church? God said unto Satan, "Have I considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turns away from or escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing or for naught? Hast not thou put a hedge or made a hedge protection around him or about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But I tell you what, God, put forth thine hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. The Lord said unto heaven, Behold, all that he hath is in now is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Don't touch him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto their father Job, and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding inside, beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am the only one. I only am escaped alone to bring you the message, or to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans, made out of three bands, fell upon the camels and have carried them away, stolen them, and slain the servants with the edge of a sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters, 10 children, were eating and drinking wine in their oldest or eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. What a day. Then Job arose, tore his mantle or rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, you still with me? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What an event. Sequence of events. All happening same day. Same day. Job means cruelty or hostility. Treated. This historical introduction to Job extends to 2 chapters. In the first, we are given an account, firstly, of his outward circumstances, his abode, his wealth, his family, and of his character. Secondly, we are given the circumstances under which God allowed Job to be tried by afflictions. Verses 6 through 12. Now we don't know. We don't know. Job didn't know. We don't know what God is always doing in our lives. Satan is going hither and yon, endeavoring to trip up children of God. We don't know why God did what he did. We don't know why he does what he do. The circumstances under which God allowed him to be tried by afflictions, we don't have all the information. We have just what God wanted us to know written in his word. Many, many afflictions. Fourthly, we see Job's behavior, his response after hearing and knowing about all of these things happening the self same day. What's your behavior, Job? The second chapter also deals with his behavior. Job was a family man, a man of God. He carried his children, like many of us, in his heart. Even though they were adults, Job communed with God regarding his children every day. He prayed for them, perhaps thinking that everything looks well. Everything looks okay. It seems to me that they're doing fine, but I never know. I might be missing something. So he always put them first in his life and commune with God on a daily basis regarding his family. Why? Because only God knows what's in the heart. You look like you're listening and paying attention to me. I don't know. But God knows. Only God can see your heart. And Job saw things that way. Who knows? One of them may be having a serious problem and won't tell me about it. Another one may be teeming or being in a situation where he or she is almost on the edge of doing something really foolish. Maybe there's one who's facing a very difficult choice and having difficulty making a decision. I pray that God will lead my child, and I pray that my child will always know that they can come to me and they can go to God. Job lived his life continually that way. His life was marked by his family and his commitment to God. He was a provisionary. Provision goes beyond material goods. By daily prayer for his grown children. Did you hear that, parents? You say, Brother Ryan, you're not telling me anything new. I know all about that. Job was looking ahead. He was scouting out potential dangers, potential hazards that my children may be going through that I don't see. And we come to verse 8 in the chapter. Somewhere in the heavenlies, the Lord himself was holding court, and he's talking to the devil, speaking to Satan, the great adversary of humanity. Job occupies their conversation. Satan comes to talk about Job. He doesn't know it, but God knows it. So God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? Job, in the heart of God, believe it or not, it appears that Job had bragging rights with God. Have you considered my servant Job? Satan kind of shrugs off the situation and replies, in effect, yes. He's one of your good people. He's one of your good guys. He has all the advantages. Why doesn't he serve you? Who wouldn't serve you? You handle him with kid gloves. Just try taking a few of his precious toys away from him. See what he does. Curse you to your face and die. Would you believe? Would you believe? Wonder of wonders. God takes up the challenge. God gives him the go-ahead. But he says, don't touch him. Don't touch him. But go ahead. Satan is given some freedom. Some freedom. To do what he loves to do most of all. Let me run that by you again. Satan is given the privilege to do what he loves to do. He loves to destroy those individuals who love God and endeavor 24 hours a day to do his will. God gave him the go-ahead, but God put Satan on a leash. He can only go so far. And in quick succession, Job, he loses his business. All 10 of his dearly beloved children, gone. At the peak of his agony, when you read chapter 2, his wife even lashes out at him. Because Job does not curse his God. In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged his God foolishly. The God whom Job served, the God whom Job was faithful to, it seems as though that God is away from his desk. Job's urgent calls and cries seem to be routed into cosmic voicemail. The worthy rancher from the land of Uz suddenly finds himself as alone as a man can be. The question now is, church, Job, what are you going to do? Before the Lord, before the devil, and before ages to come, Job, what you going to do? Are you going to remain a man? Are you going to be a real man of courage? Are you going to continue to honor the God that you serve? Or will you wilt? Will you fall apart? Will you cut and run? Will you cash in the one thing you have left? And that's your life. But he also had his reputation, his character, his honor. His reputation, his character, his honor, which is the very essence of manhood. You see, some things can be taken away from you, but there are some things that cannot be taken away. People, events, evil schemes, disasters, catastrophes can take things away from you, but those are things on the outside. No one can take upon what's in your heart. Your heart, your soul, your character. No one can take that away. You can throw it away, but no one and take it away. This was a question before Job. What are you going to do? And that is the question before every, since his Father's Day, every man. When things around him, man, are taken away, the question comes, will your character survive? When things aren't going well, when things are going contrary, will you survive? Job proved his manhood. We didn't do all of Job, we just did one chapter. But Job proved himself. And he proves himself with the other chapters, which we won't go into tonight. He proved his manhood with God, shining out of the horror and the grief that he was enduring, that he was going through. He never quit on God. His greatest strength, for Job was his relationship with God. Satan can't take that away. He can take a lot of things away from you, but he cannot take your relationship with God, my relationship with God. We can give it away, but Satan cannot take it away. And with God's help, Job stayed the course. He manifested staying power. You didn't hear what I said, did you? As servants of God, God allows events to occur in our life, not to trip us up, but to strengthen us and to draw us closer to Him. And gives us the opportunity to get a closer look, up a little bit closer at the handiwork of our God. How He goes about maintaining us, sustaining us, giving us the mental and spiritual strength to deal with situations, circumstances that are challenging and unpleasant. With God's help, Job stayed the course. He manifested staying power by the grace of God. James, in his epistle to scattered and suffering Christians, calls that same quality patience and endurance. It means staying under, remaining, persevering, holding on, holding fast, holding firm. That is what a man does who has a right relationship with God. Facing physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual stress that perhaps defies description. By God's grace, the real man, the real godly man stays. He doesn't cut and run. He can do what he needs to do. He can do what he has to do. And by God's grace, he discovers he can go further than he thought he could, and do more than he imagined he could, and become more than he ever dreamed. When you read the book of Job, it's interesting, tear-jerking, but it's exciting how he maintains his faith, even when his two friends come. Job exhibited enormous staying power. He was a man whose masculinity rested not with what he owned, not in the size of his house, Not in the amount of his investment, not what he could achieve, not in people he knew, not in what model of donkey he rode, not even in the status of the community. Job proved himself separate and apart from decorations, from tributes, from toast feasts, and from newspaper articles. He proved himself to be a man of God. The question now before us, as we wrap it up. Amen. The question now before us, before the Lord, before the devil, and before the ages of a strong man. Job, after all that's happened, what are you going to do? Are you going to wilt? Are you going to fall apart? Will you cut and run? I wonder if Job is going to cash in the one thing he has left. Job, are you going to cash in the one thing you have left? That's your character, your honor, and relationship with your God. You see, church, some things can be taken away, but there are some things that cannot be taken away. People, events, evil schemes, disasters, catastrophe, bad things can take things away from you. Those are things on the outside, but no one can ever take what's on the inside. Your heart of hearts, your soul, your character. No one can take that. You can throw it away, you can give it away, but no one can take your character. And this was a question before Job. And that is the question before every man, woman and child, but today I'm dealing with the men. That question is before every man. What will happen on the inside where you live with yourself, where your character dwells? Job proved his manhood. He proved his manhood with God, shining out of the horror and the grief, loss, that he encountered. Job had staying power by the grace of the God, again, whom he served. James, in his epistle, the scattered and suffering Christians in the New Testament, calls the same quality patience. Another definition, endurance. Stay. It means staying under, remaining, persevering, holding fast, standing firm. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what a real man does. A real man of God stays under. He does what needs to be done by the grace of God, evermore trusting in the God who created him. That is what a man does. That is what a man is. Facing physical, facing mental, facing emotional, facing spiritual stress, perhaps that defies description. By God's grace, a real man, and particularly a real man of God, stays under. And when we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being tried and had committed no sin. Falsely accused, he stayed the course. Didn't change his mind. He stayed. I came to do my Father's will. I'm staying. We have heard the gospel, believed it, received it, and obeyed it. We are marching on in the pathway of duty. From time to time, we are tested, tempted. Satan seeks to overthrow every child of God. Not just Job, but you have resolved to stay the course. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. You've come too far. What's the rest of that? You've come too far to turn around. You're closer to your goal now. We are closer to our goal now than we've ever been before. The time that we will face our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, and hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." The lesson is yours. Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Wherever you are tonight, as a child of God, if you walked away, He's blessed you to come back. This time, to come back. Take advantage of it. Come on home. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never harnessed up, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you know you should, do it tonight. Do it tonight. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed our Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. God is sorrowful for the things I've done contrary to the will of God. Acknowledge Jesus for who He is. Lord, Savior, and also a rescuer if you accept His invitation. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And you know what? God will add you to His family. He will adopt you as His adopted child. Isn't that wonderful? To be adopted by God, the creator of everything? Yes, that will be your privilege. If you've been unfaithful, come on home. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light.
Poor
sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time of the new rise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
We thank you for your time and your attention. And there is much more to this sermon about Job. But not tonight. He said, phew, peace, all is well. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? He's blessed us to come this far. And he don't have any plans of leaving us. Let that continue to be our resolve. Never any plans to leave God. Thank you for your time and your attention.